This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The malicious computer worm that holds data for ransom has spread further around the world on this Monday. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Tens of thousands of computers in Russia are now affected by the cyber attack that erupted on Friday, with China and India also hit hard. These are countries where a lot of organizations use older versions of Microsoft Windows, as well as pirated copies, both situations that leave computers especially vulnerable to cyber attack. Experts do say the pace of infection by this ransomware called WannaCry has slowed somewhat after the initial surge. Still, some large organizations today are finding their data locked out of reach, with the perpetrators still unknown. Zoe Kleinman is a technology reporter for our editorial partners, the BBC. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
We have some significant organizations and businesses that are waking up this morning to find their computers locked up because of this.
Yeah, that's right. Russia apparently is the hardest hit. President Putin insists there's no significant damage, but we've seen the Interior Ministry, railways, banks and Megafon, which is Russia's second largest mobile operator, all knocked out by the ransomware over the weekend.
And in Europe, some large companies, I saw the automaker Renault had to stop production at some factories.
Yeah, it has really caused havoc across Europe as well. As you said, in France, Renault, in Spain, Telefonica, railway stations in Germany, you know, where you get the sign telling you when your train is delayed. Well, what's been slapped over that is the ransomware notice. 30,000 institutions reported in China and in Japan, Hitachi and Nissan. It seems that Australia and New Zealand seem to have got off the most lightly. They are not reporting many incidents at the moment.
So there's a worldwide hunt now for the perpetrator or perpetrators here. It just seems such an odd tactic, because the idea is to hold the computers for ransom. If you pay in Bitcoin, we'll unlock your now encrypted data. But who would pay that? Because you don't know if it'll unlock the data.
Actually, it's a very, very lucrative way for criminals to make money, because lots of people do end up paying up. It's interesting to note, though, with WannaCry that surprisingly, given that Europol here is suggesting there are over 200,000 victims, there were only sort of three or four Bitcoin wallets that we have seen being offered as the place to deposit the ransom demand. And there's not that much money in them. I think at the last count, there was about $48,000, which is, you know, a reasonable amount of money. But when you think about the proportion of people who haven't paid up, it doesn't seem to have been as lucrative as perhaps the people that released it might have hoped. But also, they're kind of stuck now, because the world is looking for them. And the minute they touch those Bitcoin wallets, they are going to leave a trail and people are going to be onto them. So the money is just kind of sitting there. And I don't think we're going to see anybody touch it for a very long time.
Indeed. Zoe Kleinman covers technology with our partners at the BBC. Zoe, thank you.
Thank you.
Microsoft had put out a patch for this vulnerability in the middle of March, and when installed, those computers should be immune. Let's check the markets. The FTSE in London is up 8 points, a tenth percent. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed. The Dow future is up 30 points, a tenth percent. The NASDAQ future is down 2 points. Until recently, you could find gyms with the David Barton name in several major cities in the U.S., Miami, New York, Honolulu. Then suddenly, you couldn't. They disappeared. Parent company Club Ventures filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy. This is a teachable moment about bankruptcy. Here's Marketplace's Sabri Benishour.
So I used to go to this kind of funky gym in New York City. There were walls of candles, jars of dried squids, a DJ booth.
There's a giant disco ball. There are all these, like, flashy paintings. A lot of people said it looked like a club.
This is David Ree, who also used to go there. One day, out of the blue, just before last Christmas,
I found an email saying David Barton Gym would be closed down indefinitely.
People who showed up to work or to work out found chains on the doors, their stuff still in their lockers.
And I was like, how is that possible?
This was not a minor inconvenience for Ree.
Because I had paid 2 years up front, over $2,000.
What the gym did, as far as its customers, creditors, and employees were concerned, was say, see you in hell, losers. Legally, though, there's actually a word for this. It's called declaring Chapter 7 bankruptcy.
This is where companies go to die. The company disappears.
Abraham Ravid is professor of finance at Yeshiva University. Now, this Chapter 7 is different from the bankruptcy that everyone has heard of, Chapter 11.
And Chapter 11, everybody gets together, the shareholders, the management, creditors, and then they decide what to do in order to restructure the company and try to get out of bankruptcy.
You don't emerge from Chapter 7. In Chapter 7, you're done.
The company is worth more dead than alive. There's no point in keeping a company going when it just racks up losses.
Now, when you go under like this, everyone you double-crossed comes a-knockin'. And in this case of David Barton Jim, they came a-knockin' on Jan Giron's door.
I was getting frantic calls, actually, from around the various gyms, our members trying to get into their lockers, and they were locked out.
Giron is an attorney in New York, and he's a bankruptcy trustee. That means he was appointed by the Justice Department to prevent a free-for-all when a company declares Chapter 7. He got the David Barton case.
Lenders were owed many, many millions of dollars.
Under Chapter 7, all collections lawsuits are stopped. The company's assets are sold for scraps, and the money is used to pay people back according to a priority list established by law.
Secured creditors get first dibs.
A few rungs down are employees, and then gym members who prepaid their memberships?
They're probably going to be a last.
Luckily for David Ree, his credit card company refunded his membership fees, and the Attorney General of New York is suing Club Ventures. Chapter 7 may get you out of business, but it won't keep you out of court. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
See, and you thought learning about bankruptcy law could never be fascinating. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.